guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome to episode 6 of the Fifth Drupal Podcast. Another surprise episode, I know, this time with our wonderful guests from AMG. We have the game development director, Will Pagani, and we've got the development manager, Michael Plummer. What's up, Michael?
Hello.
And, you know, we also have the Fifth Trooper here in full. We've got Evan Paul joining us.
Hi, I'm also here.
And, of course, I am your host, Owen, and I can't do this without my partner in crime, Isaac. Isaac is also here. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, y'all.
Yeah, and so we've got everybody here, and it's a special episode that we're going to be talking about the Tours of Duty. But before we get into any of that, just a quick shout out to our Patreon. Hi, guys. Thanks to you for making us able to do this. This is super cool. It's the first time I get to talk to the AMG, so I think that's really neat. Thank you so much, guys. And if you want to support what we're doing over here, patreon.com/thefifthtrooper is how we do all this. Anyway, great. Awesome. Now to the fun stuff. We're talking about Tours of Duty. It was just announced just last week, whenever this airs. And so this is hot and fresh and new. And so, you know, just starting us off and talking to you guys of just like, how did you develop Tours of Duty? You know, like where did this start from?
Well, the sort of initial concept of it came from how can we create a narrative system, like a narrative campaign, right? Because everybody always loves narrative campaigns. We love narrative campaigns. It's something that's been in miniature wargaming forever, as far as I'm concerned. I think miniature wargaming probably started with narrative campaigns, and Legion didn't have one. And we wanted to do that. So we sort of started with how can we do that building inside the galaxy of Star Wars to allow players to explore all sorts of different things and explore different narratives that they can come up with and they can combine and they can make and they can tell their story inside of Star Wars? So we started with that sort of as the base concept of it, is how can we do that? And then we kind of went from there. I don't know, Plummer, if you want to talk a little bit about sort of the beginning of it all.
Yeah, I mean, tabletop miniatures gaming is such a like hobby focused, story focused experience. Just like you yourself building your army, you always kind of have a story in the back of your head of what this army is and what they do and how they fight. Or at least I always do. I say you, I mean the royal you. But I imagine that most people, when they're building their army, they're imagining who their commander is and how they would fit into the greater Star Wars saga, etc. And we wanted to have a way that people could tell those stories with one another and kind of give a structure that kind of told people how to do that, because we all do it as players. Everyone makes up stories or sits at the table and something crazy happens and you make some riff or some joke about like, oh, those guys have the extra training. So we wanted to have a sort of skeleton by which players can get permission and an understanding of ways that they could do that and have those troopers have the training because they did so well in their last game, and like make those stories into not just a little quip that you have with your opponent, and maybe you remember that joke that you told 3 years ago at the table, but have like an actual, you know, representation of that we can look at the dossiers from our register and say like, oh yeah, these are my veterans. This is this unit, and they do these things, and they're so cool because XYZ. We wanted to have something for players who want to tell those stories and have a different way of playing the game so that they can interact with the hobby the way that they want to.
And I think it also really came in when we were doing the customizable characters and stuff. Right? One of the big pushes on those is it allows the players to explore what are the different options there, right? What kind of characters can they make? What kind of options exist inside of the world of Star Wars for people to do? And then we're like, well, what if we took it further? What if we made it your entire army that you could do this for, your entire force? And how can we create something that allows people to explore that and do that even further?
Can I ask how long ago the development began for Tours of Duty?
I mean, I want to say we started this even before the customizables were a thing, and then it was kind of slow rolled. So probably at least 2 years, probably closer to three.
Yeah, I think there's two answers to that, actually. There's like, when did we start development on this? And I think Pagani's right. It was 2 or 3 years ago that we started having a document that we were putting together and saying, like, we want to make this thing. This is what it should be like. This is what it should do. And then probably, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years ago. So yeah, somewhere in there, we started to develop in earnest and say like, okay, let's make this a thing. What does this look like? How does it work? You know, how many games do you play? How do you determine if a unit is removed from your register? What do we call the list of all your units? So we'll call it a register. Cool. Check. First thing done. That's when that process started. And then from there, it becomes a real thing. And it's no longer just this amorphous design document and like conversations between Pagani and I over lunch when we have nothing else to talk about, and starts to become, a rule book that you can look at and say, this is how we're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. Let's sit down. Let's play a game. Let's roll some dice. Let's see what happens.
Good stuff.
When you were developing this, did you think about the starters at all with it at the same time? Or was this a thing that you just happened to be developing and then you saw that the starters would be a good place to release it with, and you were like, all right, 1-2 combo, let's go?
Yeah, so they were not the starters. Like, we started 3-ish plus years ago, right? So these starters had not really been concepted at that point. Mm-hmm. But when we were like, hey, we got this framework going on, we got all these kind of things, when is a good time to release this kind of stuff? I sat down with Schick, who kind of does all the product planning and that kind of stuff as well. And we're like, well, we got starters coming out. We got the customizables, which are really, really great. We're going to build this kind of around that launch, because that's kind of everything that a player needs, right? With two purchases, a starter set and a customizable, you can jump right in, right? You can do a 500 to 600 point army right there and a register for that, and you're good to go. And then as you play your games and as you learn and as you grow, you can add on to your combat potential and stuff, and you can build out sort of a slow growth style thing there. So whereas I don't think it was necessarily at the beginning of the concept for it is when all this started, it definitely all gelled together and then became very intentional with that as we continued in the development of it, that it was all going to work together and kind of come out together.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for the fact that, like, we'll have an idea and we'll say we want to make this thing, and we don't exactly know when the right time to release it will be. But, like, this is a thing that we want to do because we think it's cool. And that's kind of how this started off. Like, wouldn't it be rad if we could do X, Y? Yeah, it sure would. Let's write down a bunch of ideas. But it's not on the schedule yet, so we can't spend a bunch of time working on it. And then as we get closer and we're like, well, we need something cool that's gonna fit with the new release, like new way to play. Oh, well, we've had this Tours of Duty thing, like, kind of poking about around for a little bit. If we take that and we look at what else is coming out, like, we have these customizable characters, we have these starter boxes. Like, it's not so much that maybe we designed Tours of Duty with those in mind, but like when the two met, when those two things converged, we said like, oh, well, we can do this inside of Tours of Duty, and then it fits perfectly with these new things that are going to be the building block of what new players are going to be buying anyway, what people are going to be looking at getting, because like they're new, they're exciting. We have this like whole new kind of like bump to Legion coming because we have these new starters. Like, this goes hand in hand with that. How do we shift this so that it's super accessible, so it's something people will be interested in because they're already excited about these things? And like, this is the perfect way to kind of give them both like a running start out of the gate. Like, if you weren't excited about customizables and you get excited about Tours of Duty, well, now, like, great, now you're excited about everything. It's a great way for us to put everything hand in hand and build that excitement in the community and get people playing games.
It seems so well tailored to each other, and that's why I asked, because it you're right, like it is a great starting point for new players. To they can buy the starter, they can grab the customizable, and now they're playing these games. They're already doing the 600 point games, like you said, and of course they're going to want to escalate, and you've built that escalation already into the Tours of Duty, so that way that's already a thing where it's like you can keep doing your 600 point games and keep going that, and eventually maybe you want to add another character and get it to 7, or you do the get a specialist out there and push it to 800 points and things like that. So I think you just have done a very good job designing this, and it just seems like such a good idea just going across there, and I was like, yeah, no, like this 100% makes sense.
I do want to say, just sort of as a little asterisk to this though, that like, I don't think a new player that has just done this, their first game should not be Tours of Duty. It should be a standard game.
I think of that course. Much should be clear. I totally agree with you.
because there's Legion's a very complicated game. There's a lot going on.
Right.
Tours of Duty adds more to that. We don't need to start at the top of the tree. We can start at the bottom and kind of learn as we go. But it is something that a hobbyist can build towards, and a player can build towards this. Absolutely.
Yeah, so myself and some other friends in the Legion community have always dreamed about the possibility of being able to play a narrative campaign with the old school Battlefronts Galactic Conquest theme put to it. That's a little bit larger scale than what I'm currently seeing, I guess, for Tours of Duty, but I was wondering if there's anything in the works to perhaps broaden the horizons to have like multiple generals leading armies in a larger campaign, like a grand campaign with multiple generals fighting for control of the galaxy. Is that something that's potentially in the works, or more of a homebrew thing left to the community, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could certainly do multiple registers and have different sort of fronts going on and things like that. You could tie in a map campaign to that. Are we going to make that? Never say never, right? Like, that is not the current sort of idea behind Tours of Duty, but that could be a different situation that comes out, something similar to Tours of Duty in the future, right? We at Atomic Mass Games are really big on creating different ways for players to use their collections and their miniatures and really add value to those things, right? So Tours of Duty is not the last thing that we're going to come out with in terms of alternate play modes or anything like that. So is there a campaign like that on the horizon? Maybe below the horizon, but certainly never say never, right? Like we're here to make it all, as Schick always says. I guess for those of you who don't know, Schick is my boss. So we're here to make everything. So on a longer timeline, I think something like that would be awesome and would be really fun to make.
Awesome. That's really exciting to hear.
Yeah, this is my first opportunity to say this, and we should probably count how many times I say this today, but that sounds rad. I think you should do it. I would love to read about it on the Discord. Probably the coolest thing about these alternate game modes and things is that, like, once we make it and once you get it, it's your game. Like, you bought it. This is your game. Have fun with it. Do what you want. Play with it. So, like, if you want to do something cool where you have multiple registers and you have the galaxy map that you made and move stuff around, like, that sounds awesome. I can't wait to read all about it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, this has already given like a lot of tools to make that dream happen. So as soon as I started reading the article, I was like, oh, I'm like, so it's so much easier to do now. So even
that's right.
Yeah, just as a homebrew concept is very achievable.
So yeah, Plummer, I think you're keying into one of the really interesting parts about all of this to me, compared to the usual ground that is sort of tread around in, where you're talking about, you know, if you're doing tournament play where there are rules that everybody's got to follow, and in order to keep the game fair for everybody in a competitive sense, that everybody is following those same rules, and that's just how it works. Campaigns are different because mutual player consent is always going to be like infinitely more important at the end of the day than the developer intent or what is written on paper. You know, like, people can do whatever they want as long as both of the players that are involved are agreeing that they're going to do it this way or that way. So it makes things a little bit different. So that being said, I am curious about what the design intent was with a couple of corners of the game that we often see in competitive play, those being mercenaries and battle forces. Those are not items that are specifically called out in the core Tours document in any way. And so I was curious just sort of what about those was running along your minds when you were creating Tours of Duty?
So I think the important part of this answer is something that you actually just said, Evan, which is it's really up to you.
Yes.
As a player. We wanted to give a framework that people can play inside of and give some sort of how to do this. But the specifics of it, can I play a battle force? I don't know. Is your character hanging out with the Ewoks or whatever, right? Like, is your character hanging out wherever this battle force would be hanging out? If yes, then great, do it.
Right.
If not, then don't do it. And that's really just up to you, right? Because my thought on this, and once again, this is just my thought, and I have, as Plummer has said, I have no authority over what you do in your game store.
Exactly.
And the AMG police are not going to show up and be like, no, you're doing it wrong. Like, no, they don't exist. Right? AMG police can't hurt you, right? It's the point of this is not to create necessarily the most powerful register that you can, right? It's to tell a story. It's to tell an experience. It's to create a thing that is uniquely yours. So do people enjoy min-maxing things and breaking things? Yes, I enjoy doing that. Like, I am one of those people. It certainly can be, right? Like, it certainly can be the spot for that. But we certainly want to leave the door open for everyone to experience this how they want to experience it. So if they want to play a battle force, great. If they want to take mercenaries, great. Do it, right? Like tell your story is kind of my response to that. And we're going to try and keep it as open as possible for people to explore that story and tell their story without us getting in the way.
Was telling our story the reason why none of the registers can have named units? Was that like the push that you guys had for that? Was like, okay, hey, that's already being told in other media, and this will help you to do your own thing?
I can comfortably say yes. Like it's one of the things about playing a game of Star Wars Legion is like it's really easy to sit down, and this is goes back to like talking about the competitive meta, and like there is like sort of a widespread set of rules about playing the game of Legion that like these units are good, these units are great, these units fit in your list, these are the characters that you should bring to lead your army when you bring it to a tournament because they are the best character. Those are things that if you play Legion that you know. And if you're playing Tours of Duty, which is supposed to be this narrative story thing, and everyone's general is Darth Vader, you lose something there. And the ability to name that character and have that self-insert and have that moment of like being a little kid and being like, this is my general, they're so cool because they're a Deadeye and they run faster than a Lothcat, or like whatever it is that makes your general cool, that's the thing. And you get to make that up, and they get to fight, and like, and then we added in that like you can have Darth Vader show up, and like what happens when that guy fights Darth Vader? That's fun, and it happens like one time, and that's that episode of the show that you're watching, or that's that piece of the film, right, in your trilogy, your three story arcs that you play. Like we very much wanted to make sure that the characters that you're making up, the ones that you're connected to, like your little creations, they're the main story of this trilogy. They are like who you're watching a movie about. And it's hard to do that when Luke Skywalker is there all the time.
Oh, 100%. I think that's the greatest, in my opinion, it's like one of the greatest strengths of what you guys made is the focus on units that would have been labeled with the term generic in the past, and that this actually gives an opportunity to create like an infinite number of unique characters. Like, there was with TV shows such as Star Trek that have been running for a long time, some of my favorite episodes of that are the ones where they peel away from the main cast and then they show just like a bunch of schlubs from the lower decks that are trying to like help the ship work. I think there was a Next Gen episode in later seasons that I remember that was a lot like that. And so even just like thinking of my very first register and playing this campaign, that's been like one of the things that has struck me, and I think that it was really important that you guys incorporated units of every rank into this. So then that includes like both vehicles and trooper units, so that you can have like a squad that has made a name for itself, or you can have a tank that's made a name for itself by messing up all the time and that it's riddled with setbacks. And so it's like trying to finally break through and actually hit something for once. Like, all those things are possible, and I'm really looking forward to experiencing all of that myself.
It's definitely given me the ability to look at some things that I wouldn't normally look at on my list and just being like, oh, why don't I bring this? Because I could potentially upgrade it and make it better. And like maybe I will have a Tauntaun unit called, like the Hoth Chargers or something, and see how that works. Like that might be really fun when normally I would, if I, at least in a competitive standpoint, I go, not really worth it putting in my list. I won't play them. But now I'm like, hey, why not play it? Like I'm telling a story. And so I want to be able to have these things in there that maybe even if they aren't good, they're at least fun to use and play. And so it's giving me that opportunity, which I think is great.
Isaac, did you want to ask your question about custom commanders?
Yeah, I was wondering, like it seems like with all the new customizable commanders and the operatives that they're like a really essential part of filling like the Paragon role in Tours of Duty Army Registers. So I was wondering, do you guys think that there's going to be more unique, like, or more like customizable units, maybe not necessarily characters, but like units, core units, support units, tanks, whatever it might be, just to kind of broaden the types of units that you see in those Tours of Duty registers.
As a sort of core component to the game, is that kind of what you're asking about, like for standard Legion?
Yeah, well, like would there be like a possibility of maybe there's units that are for standard Legion and Tours of Duty, or maybe there's specific Tours of Duty units that are being released, or even other customizable units as a whole, just anything that might broaden it a little bit.
We can't speak too much to future releases, but what I
Right.
will say is I think they're very cool. And I think they're very well received and they're very cool, which usually is the combination that says we should do more. I will not commit to anything past that.
Hey, that's a completely acceptable answer. That's great.
Yep.
I mean, I don't accept it, but that's not up to me.
I think all that like I really have to say to that is that what you're asking about, like in the short term, like that's what the commendation system is for and all about. It's like your unit survives through these battles and now they get tactical one, and they couldn't have tactical one before. And like, that's neat. That's fun. I can do that. And that's cool. Right. That's where you get to customize your units. And like, eventually you find out again, like what's the best. And then eventually you're like, well, I don't care what's the best because this unit did this stupid thing. So now they have infiltration because they were so good in that last game. And for me, that's where the fun really comes, is when something stupid happens in a game. And that's why I choose their upgrade, and I give them something that's, you know, probably bad, but it's fun. Like, that's the best.
That is really cool.
Speaking of like the battles, you have introduced turning points into the Tours of Duty. Just wondering from your perspective, like, all of them have these wonderful narrations to them. Were there specific episodes or comic lines or story moments in the Star Wars canon that inspired these that you looked at and you were like, oh, we should do this?
So I don't think there were very many specific ones, mostly because we don't want to be that specific,
right?
If that makes sense, right? We really want
to
try
to do just Hoth.
Exactly. We want you to be able to fight your escape mission anywhere, not just Hoth. But obviously they are inspired in some way by something in Star Wars, right? They're the basic understanding of the motivations of the different factions or the different characters in the shows and stuff. Right. So yeah, I think that's kind of,
yeah. Like they're faction coded, right? Like this one is Rebel Alliance, but obviously like you can take that and you can play that as Empire and you can, you know, change the narrative to fit whatever you want. You know, in working with the team, when we were making these missions, like we kind of split them up because there's a bunch of them. And the big thing that we talked about with the missions was not specific like episodes of Clone Wars or specific moments of movies, but the big thing was like, in keeping with this coding these to a faction, we want to make sure that, you know, players that are playing this, they feel like they're the main character. Like, they're the good guys in this. So, like, the one that's very CIS coded is Rooting Out the Corruption. And, like, I've seen people in the Discord, like, Rooting Out the Corruption.
No, I
CIS,
love it. I totally
CIS,
get what you're going for.
They're the good guys.
They're the good
in their
guys,
story.
Exactly.
So, like, kind of as you're playing your Tour of Duty, we hope that people are like, I'm the hero of this story. I'm the hero of the Empire, and I'm squashing the rebels. Because the Empire needs me. And that's good. You're the good guy. You're the hero. So that was kind of like the main thing, is in all of these stories, we want someone to feel like they're the hero. They're the main driving force that's doing a good. And then like the other person is your opponent that you will lay waste before you because you're the good guy. And that's the big feeling. Like, people should feel like they're moving their goals forward. They're the hero.
Were there any factions that were harder to do that with, to like make people feel like the good guys, just out of curiosity? Or was it just like, no, it was super easy to do across the board to have that like faction identity?
I think it was very hard for like individuals to make certain factions feel like the good guy. And that's why we split them up the way that we did. So like, you know, if someone really likes the Galactic Empire, like they get to make the Empire feel like the hero when they do the writing. And like the people that really like CIS can talk about that. And like, cause everyone has kind of like their spin and their take and what they like in Star Wars. And like, you know, we have our biases too. Like, I think the Empire are bad guys. So it's hard for me to make the Empire feel like a good guy, but there are people that love the Galactic Empire. That's their favorite faction in Star Wars and they will stand by it forever. And like, those people love to make the Empire sound like the good guy. And do I agree with them? No, but they're really good at doing this.
Look, they're just trying to bring peace and order, okay? That's all.
I really do like the CIS one, I gotta say. Just like, if the turning point is called Caught in the Act, and I can only imagine that whoever was performing this act wasn't actually doing anything wrong, but, you know, maybe some evidence got fabricated and then spread throughout the holonet, and, you know, it's like, here, this is where the problem is. It's in the buildings of the democratically elected government of this planet, so we need to take care of it. yeah, like, really, really strong work designing all of this, for sure. All right, so... I was actually going to talk about something that you're talking about a little bit, Will, where there's going to be, no matter what, even though this is meant to be a sort of like DIY, find your own fun sort of thing, is that there's certain sadists out there, and I'll just like use that term openly, that are going to latch on to things like, okay, I can make my aqua droids 4 health each now by taking this commendation. At the same time, there's certain masochists like me who are going to look at, okay, I want to do a Gar army, and so therefore I'm going to take the Bark Speeder, the Clone Commandos, the Ragnos Fluttercraft, and I have to pay an extra supply point for all of those to give them the weapon that they normally are able to use all the time. So two questions there is that, one, is there any point at which you are like with new releases or anything else that you would actually have a concern about balance in Tours of Duty that you actually would act on in the way that you would for like the base game? And two, what do you have against Republic supports?
I will take this as two different answers. The first one is no, I don't think we would ever change anything for the core main line of Legion based on anything in.
I more meant like changing Tours rules in order to like take care of if there was an interaction that was actually like getting to the point where it was limiting the fun of the people that were playing.
I mean, sure. Yeah, we could do something like that, right? Like, for example, your Aqua Droid thing, we could say to a maximum of 3.
Sure.
Or something, right? Would we do that? I mean, probably not, right?
Yeah.
If the point of this is not to make the most bustedest busted thing that you can make, and unless that's how you get
Speak
your fun,
for
and that's fine. But like, I mean, you're here paying extra points for Radagast Fluttercraft gunners. You're
I know,
not doing
that's
that.
My mistake.
You're one of the good guys. You're one of the good guys. So like, you can make that list, right? But you have to understand that you as a player, when you do things like that, it is going to affect the person across the table from you as well, right?
Yeah.
And they're very important to your experience because without them, you don't get to do this. You don't get mm-hmm. to play Star Wars. You don't get to play Tours of Duty without that person across the table from you. So there is sort of a social construct or a social covenant or something. I forget the words that Schick uses about this all the time, where it's your enjoyment is important. Your opponent's enjoyment is also important. So if you're doing something that's kind of silly and makes the game not fun for anyone or makes the game not fun for your opponent, you may find yourself without opponents eventually, right? Like, and that's unfortunate because nobody wants that. Everybody wants to come to the table. They want to have a good game. They want to play. They want to enjoy themselves. They want both players to walk away from the game and be like, man, that was fun. That was awesome. And I think that has a whole nother step added to it in Tours of Duty, which is no longer this was fun, this was awesome, but now it is, man, that was really narrative, or that was really cool, or
right.
Man, your clone commandos were able to set the bomb up and get caught in the act or whatever, right? Like, that was awesome. So I think that contract between players is very important in Standard Legion, and I think it is even more important in Tours of Duty.
There's definitely a feel of how Magic the Gathering, when you play Commander with people, like you have to talk to them very much about how powerful
sure.
stuff is, because you don't want to just have the unlimited combos and instantly win. And I feel like that's the same thing here, where it's like, yes, you could make a unit that's completely busted, but then how many people are going to want to play with you after you do that?
Yeah, I like to also think like this is a narrative format that's inherently about telling a story. And if you think about all your favorite Star Wars stories, all of your favorite Star Wars media, like it's usually not about the unstoppable brigade of stormtroopers that take this planet with no problems, no setbacks, no one can stand in their way. They're unstoppable. Like that's a really boring movie. Like what gets exciting and what's interesting about like the games you play is always like that unit of rebel troopers that destroyed an AT-ST and held a point for 5 turns. Like how did that happen? That's amazing. So by giving like, yes, there's on the one hand, it's fun to look at Legion, which is this kind of, you know, toolbox of keywords and rules and fun things that we can slap together and make the most powerful thing possible. And that will be fun to play against one another for a little while. And then you can kind of turn your head and look at it another way and say, like, what are the worst upgrades that I can take that make this into like my scrappy band of stormtroopers who have been stuck on this mud planet for 15 years and they don't even really know what the war's about anymore? Like, that's also a great story. It's very cool. It's very fun. And you end up with probably infinitely more wacky stories out of that one. And I think that's a big part of why we're all here, is to tell stories about our games with our friends, because I've been playing these games for like 30 some odd years. And I can't tell you anything about games I've won, but I have some stories I could tell you that are great.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I think the setback system also does a little bit to address this, right? Where if you're like, man, I got this totally busted unit, your opponent's going to focus it down and it's going to start taking casualties. It's going to start taking setbacks and maybe it will just be removed from your register, right? Like that is the possibility that can happen. So if you put all of your eggs in one basket, you're trying to make some busted combo, you can get punished for that too.
I think just to follow it up, just because I know that there's going to be a bunch of people that are going to come after me if I don't ask specifically, is there going to be a thought about like incorporating upgrades that are normally zero cost, and so they're functionally like used as sort of equips as a way to have those automatically be a part of units when you recruit them? Just because I think some players feel like, and I'm not talking about the Fluttercraft, not being self-serving here, some players are feeling like it feels like it's a little bit of a tax for something like Death Troopers, where, you know, like their gun is normally something that you take for free along with them, but now they have to like pay extra points for or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't think so. And the reason I don't think so, right, is because, and we had a lot of talks about this with upgrades, very specifically, like what upgrades can you, what can't you take? How do you get them? All this kind of stuff, right? Because one of the most important parts of this is progression, right? So if you have a Fluttercraft without a bomber on it, or something, it's going to be dooting around doing its thing and not really doing a whole lot. But then eventually you're going to be like, man, maybe that, and your commander might notice it in the sky and be like, wow, that thing.
That guy knows how to fly.
Right. And then you can get a bomber. Right. So like that sort of progression is really, really the backbone, I think, of all of this. Right. So we tried to give you the absolute least amount of stuff right off the bat. And then give you as a player the chance to level up your units, to get more equipment, to get your cool blasters, to get your cool Fluttercraft bomber guy, right? Like that progression and that stepping stone is like really, really, really important, I think, to the experience of this. Because if we just said, hey, you can take all of your zero cost upgrades for free or whatever, a lot of those units don't really have very far to go after that. There's no progression to them. There's nowhere for them to level up or do those things or to get better through the upgrade system, right? They can always get commendations and things like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But there's not a lot of sort of the core Legion experience that is upgrading your units and getting those things that is inside of this for those units. So.
All right.
Yeah. Whereas in Quips, they're like, this unit just literally doesn't work without this.
There are the hard points, though, is something that the vehicles are able to take.
Yes, yeah. So there's like hard points, right? I think there were some other things too, like maybe programming. I'm not sure I remember exactly.
For vehicles, it's like hard points and then anything that's equipped.
Yep. And then you also get like a personnel upgrade and a heavy upgrade
for troopers. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of gives you your like baseline. This is what your unit is. And then you can start adding on from there, right? Whereas with like, say, Death Troopers, for example, sure, there's a heavy weapon, but that's not like the core of the unit, right?
Right.
Like the core of the unit is that cool weapon that they get later. Maybe they just have normal little blaster rifles and they get their cool ones later on.
Makes sense.
For distinguished actions in the field or something. I don't know. You make up your story. Maybe they stole it.
Maybe it was indistinguished actions in the field and you said, we better get these guys better guns.
Or the rebels blew up the ship that had it.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
They didn't get their cool blasters, right? Like, who knows? Make up your own story as to why they don't start with it. We've given you five options now. Yeah. See what you can come up
with. With the community just like rallying behind this so much as they have, and just the extremely positive reception that it's been having so far. Has there been anything that you both have seen that you're just like, we never thought of this, and we're so glad that you are doing this. This is so cool.
I saw all the jokes about medevacking the Persuader tank. I'm like, this is the best. Like, because I love how kind of silly that thing as a concept is, where it's like, it's not a tank that is being driven by a B1 or something, right? Like, it is the droid. So now I can just see this, like, I don't know, this giant like medical bag guy, which doesn't even make sense because it's a droid, but like rolling out with like an enormous wrench and like, I don't know. I just think it's hilarious and I love it. But like, it's just something I never really thought about and it's the best.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're medevacking a spider is basically like, or a droidica is basically the same deal. And like I was saying on the cast, I think that the best part of it is just the implication that the B1s that are like melting are going to be left behind while they like literally grab a vehicle that doesn't have a mind of its own. Because like, we better fix this. We need this. We can replace you guys.
Exactly. Exactly. It's hilarious.
I think on the day that it was dropped, somewhere in the Legion Discord, someone was theorizing about their plan about how they could get Darth Vader in as many games as possible. Like how many points do they need to hold on to get the commendation to have him show up all the time? And so similar to Pagani, imagining a gigantic droid with a huge wrench, I just imagine playing Tours of Duty and having like my idea being that like I'm this idiot that keeps showing up at Darth Vader's battle and he's just like,
the begrudging showing up of just being like, do I have to be here to save you guys again?
Yeah, like, oh, this is who's under my command. Great, this guy again.
Setbacks only. yeah. When designing brand new units, I was wondering how much does Tours of Duty factor in, if any at all. It's just some insight on that headspace there.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Right. Like the core gameplay of Legion is still what's the most important for designing new units and balance and all of that kind of stuff. Right. Now, with that does mean is that I'm sure at some point we will release something that breaks in Tour of Duty because we'll do something weird like when we put Dark Troopers into the heavy slot, for example. That was a very weird thing that could have broken something like Tours of Duty because previous to that, heavies were only vehicles. So maybe all those things were vehicle tagged instead of heavy tagged. I'm sure that will happen at some point with something coming out. And then we'll just fix Tours of Duty for whenever that does happen. So I don't think it would affect designs or development of a unit if it did something weird or bad in Tours of Duty. We would fix that on the Tours of Duty side, not on the unit side.
Yeah, and I think it'd be pretty hard to make something that's going to break Tours of Duty because Tours of Duty is so open.
Right.
Like there was a point in the development where we were looking at the list of commendations and the commendation list just felt a little short. And honestly, part of it is because we were just a little concerned about saying like throw this keyword on this unit. And we just said, what if we just see what happens if you do it? And we did, and it was fine. So making a new unit that has different keywords that does different things is it essentially in Tours of Duty just gives you a different starting point for that unit, gives you a different place where your unit begins with. It begins with these keywords and does this thing. But it's nothing that you probably couldn't build up after 3 or 4 games to put those keywords on a unit of something else that has other keywords. And eventually you make similar-ish units. But it's where do you start from? What's the base? What's the most important core of that unit for Tours of Duty? And then, you know, we have to look at the wider range of Legion, like the tournament meta and like the ways that all the other ways that people play and the overall balance of the game. Like that's where we're going to be putting our focus when we make a new unit is like make sure that this core way of playing the game that is like when you buy your starter box, there's a rule book in there that tells you to play this way. Like it tells you go to the website, here's the rule book. Like that's what we need to focus on when we're making new stuff. And then all of this, like as much as we love Tours of Duty, it is an alternate game mode. And so it is the second concern for balance.
That makes a lot of sense. I could imagine it would be very difficult to try to balance everything across all the various game modes. So that's great.
That would be difficult. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we can also just touch on this right now. Tours of Duty is not meant to be balanced, particularly. Like, we hope that it's close.
That's a good one.
It's like the turning points, we don't really want you to have a 50-50 win rate on your turning point because then it's going to take forever. So we designed the turning points to be favored for the person who's playing the turning point. Not hugely favored, but they should have a 60% win rate, a 70% win rate, a 75% win rate on those turning point missions so that they can complete their story arc and then start their next one, right? So usually they get something extra. It's easier for them to complete their objectives. They get bonus points. They get a bonus special rule, something like that, that will hopefully push them forward completing their story arc. And if they get blown out and they don't, well, then you gotta go figure it out again.
And to just talk a little bit more about the turning points, like if you look at them in the way that they're written, like they're written very much like a standard game of Legion. They have secondary objectives and they have objectives and they have all the pieces that make a mission in Legion. And the hope is that like, although we have this kind of inherent imbalance in it, because you want that psychological bit of like, oh, I'm playing my turning point and I won and that's great. Like, hopefully when you look at it as the person who's not playing the turning point and you look at all the cool stuff you get to do or like how different that is for you, like, oh, I'm trying to evacuate my people instead of just trying to destroy the other army, or like, oh, my commander gets to do this cool thing where they're trying to like get pictures of the enemy commander and send them back to home base or whatever. Like it's something different. It's a different way to play so that like, although you have that kind of handicap to your chance to win, you have a game within a game, or you have something new and cool that you get to do while you're playing this so that you get a fun experience of playing Legion that is different than you would get, even though you may not win the game necessarily. Like we hope that that's there. That's part of the goal as well.
For sure.
Not to be greedy with it, because I absolutely love the turning points. I think these things are absolutely like one of the coolest things. Do we have like a release window of more of that? Like are we getting new stuff every year? Like what is that looking like for the Tours of Duty and for Turning Points specifically?
I can't answer anything on a timeline here for this, but there will be more things for Tour of Duty coming, is what I will say. So this is not the end. This is not a one and done. We are not walking away. So this is now a supported format that will continue to be supported in the future.
Awesome. I do want to just like toss in some kudos about this, by the way, because there is a world where this could have been released as a product that you have to pay for, even if it was all electronic. Uh-huh. And so the fact that it was like that, there was so much thought into this, and that the actual rules framework was released for free, I think is something that's really, really laudable. And that I think some folks out there might not necessarily be appreciating the fact that a lot of other games out there would have charged for this. And so exactly. I really, really do appreciate that. I am curious, like, even if like the rest of the stuff is all going to always be print and play, do you foresee a future where you would like release a couple collected things of these as like actual printed cardboards that people could have things like that in front of them if they wanted to? Or do you think it's probably just it's going to be how it is?
I think the option for both certainly exists, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
As I've said a few times now, and I will keep saying it, and that's okay, you can keep asking, is I can't talk about future possible releases, right?
Yeah. Of course, makes sense.
So should a product exist for this? Will it be in physical form someday? Maybe. Right.
Yeah, but the key is that this was designed to be something that anybody who owns the minis can get into.
Yep. Yeah, we talked about adding value, right? Like one of our huge things as a studio has always been to give as much value as we possibly can to, one, your purchases, right? Because that's important. And then two, your hobby time, right? Like a lot of us put a lot of time into painting miniatures, into building things, and to creating the stories and crafting the stories into these things. And that time is valuable, right? I mean, speaking for myself here, I've got two kids. I've got a million different hobbies that I can do. If I choose to spend that doing Star Wars Legion, that's great. We want to value that. We want to make you feel as a player that you are appreciated and have things that you can do with that and have as many different things as you can do with that as we can make. So that's where we get the narrative OP kits that come out, the league kits, the tournament kits, all those different things, which are not all free, obviously, but they are there to support the community and there to support the stores and things like that. And this is just another offering on top of that as something that you can do with your hobby time, with your game time, with your friends, with your community, with your people. So that's something that's very important to us.
Yeah, it's really important that y'all who play Legion, that you have a way to play Legion with all your friends, all of them. Like anyone that plays games in any different way, like if you have friends that are really only interested in story-based RPG games, like now you have a way to play Star Wars Legion with those friends that incorporate some of that stuff that they love about games. And now you can share your passion for miniatures and you can share your passion for Star Wars Legion with someone that has a passion for story games and for interconnected games that make something happen. And like, that's really cool. I think that's the real beauty of this, is it's a place where you can go up to a friend that maybe isn't really into like the deep tournament game side of Legion that we see people talk about so often, so much, like so much of it is around that, because that's what people talk about. That's where most of the community discussion is. And now there's another piece of it. And that's really cool. Like that's really exciting, is just the chance to play in different ways.
Yeah. You tapped into the market of like, I have a coworker who, he bought all of these Legion minis specifically to do tabletop RPGs for Star Wars. Huh. And now he's got a narrative campaign that he can play with those from you guys. And you've hooked him, right? And I was like, this is perfect. Like, this is exactly how this line goes of like, you found a way of getting someone who is already kind of somewhat related to the project or to the product, and then just being like, all right, now, like, let's actually get some games in. And I think that's just such a, as you said, like, it's such a neat way of being able to have more than one way of being able to play this with people, with our friends, with our community, right? There's now one more way to include them in the conversation and into the game space. Yeah.
think it's an excellent tool to bring people into communities and build the communities up too. Because I have several friends just like Owen that same boat. They do the RPG side, and so it's nice to have another tool to sell people on the game. So it's great.
I had another quick question out of curiosity. Like, I know it's early, but do you think that there might be something along the lines of a tours event at Adepticon or something like that?
I cannot talk about possible future releases.
Understood.
But I would hope to see something like that. Yes.
Maybe like a broader question is like, do you think that this is the sort of like when you guys were building this, like, was the concept of running actual like community events ever something that that came across your thoughts in terms of something that players were likely going to engage in?
Yeah. So what I can say to this sort of question is, if you enjoy Tours of Duty, you should absolutely bring a register and bring your Tours of Duty to Adepticon. And I think you should do that, one, because there are going to be other people to do that same thing.
Yeah, that makes
they're gonna
sense.
Be there, they're going to be looking for games. And then two, there's a huge open play area. And I've seen some people talking about this, but I want to call it out very specifically that your opponent does not need to be playing Tours of Duty for you to be playing Tours of Duty.
Yeah.
So they can play a normal army of Legion at whatever point value you agree to, and then you can play your Tours of Duty army, and it'll have its setbacks, it'll have its commendations, and all that kind of stuff, which, once again, will not be perfectly balanced to a razor's edge, but whatever is.
You just need to make sure your opponent knows why your Aquadrits have 4 health.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
No, why the little Sharpie scribbles there, and then a 4? Be like, no, it was in the update. Like, but yeah, so like, I think that's just like a really important thing, right? Is anywhere that you go and you want to play Legion, you can bring your register for Tours of Duty, and you say, hey, I want to play a game. Then you go, great, I would love to play a game. How many points you want to play? You'd be like, I'm gonna play 1,000. Do you mind if I use my Tours of Duty thing, right? And if they say no, cool, you play a normal game. If they say yes, great, hit an agenda in there, get it.
Yeah, so I guess we can sort of close out by, I was just going to ask you guys, do you have any particular memories of units or dossiers or your paragons, like when you were creating this, that are going to like stick out in your brain?
So when we were playtesting this, we didn't obviously sit down and play like 40 games or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we fast rolled out games, and we had a like, well, this percentage of the time your unit dies or whatever, your unit's defeated, and then this percentage of the time they get a thing, and like they did the good thing, and like all that kind of stuff. And I just remember that I had a Jedi commander that every single game was defeated and just ended up with a pool of stuff, and it was just worth it. I was like, come on, man, you gotta pick up the lightsaber sometime. So that was pretty fun when we were doing sort of just running through these systems and stuff to make sure that they're all there and they work and it progresses fast enough and all that kind of stuff. So that was
my big memory was like we did test all the turning point missions. We wanted to play all of them, and they all started off like different than they were, and then obviously like you get them to the table and you're like, oh, this is garbage, we should change it to do this, and then you do, and then you're like, hey, that's slightly better, and then you keep changing it. And like, that's just how game dev works, right?
Yeah.
But I just remember working on the one from the Rebel Coded story arc, and I just remember trying to figure out like what the advantage was where your commander is your graffiti token. And I remember just being like doubled over laughing, imagining a rebel commander with a can of spray paint like running up the battlefield with a vibro axe in one hand, just like tagging a building. And it was just, it was cool, and it worked out, and it's very fun on the table because it's very unique, it's very different. But in my head, I just had that image, and it will forever live in my brain.
I don't know if you've explicitly stated this, and we've said it a couple times, that the turning points are coded to a faction, but they are not locked to that faction.
Right.
You can pick whatever turning point you want to play. You may have to come up with some exciting narratives for some of them, but that's okay. Right.
We should say you can pick whatever story arc you want to play, just because that is like turning points are a part of a story arc,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Choose any story arc.
Yeah. You choose your story arc, which ends in the turning point. So you can pick whatever turning point you are working toward at any time.
I'll be curious about how many brave people pick out the one where the commendation involves clone troopers for the rebel imperial and droid armies. But do whatever you want, man.
We'll figure it out. We'll tell the story somehow.
Yeah, and I mean, who's to say in the future that in Tours of Duty there's not an option to take clone troopers in a different faction or something, right? Because that is certainly something that could exist.
Yeah.
It's rebel
pretty wild stuff. Yeah, the imagination runs limitless. I'll let Owen. Owen, is there anything else that you wanted to call out?
I was going to say the same thing that you were. Is like we appreciate you guys taking your time and being here and talking to us about the Tours of Duty. It's a huge thing, and so we appreciate it and thank you so much for joining us and in doing all of this, because I know at least for me, Isaac has unfortunately been traveling this entire time, but at least for me sitting at home, I was like, this is it. Like, this is the stuff that we were doing the Fifth Trooper podcast for, because this isn't the competitive, being serious, you know, end of Legion. Like, this is the fun, tell stories with your armies and paint them how you want and get fun with it, get creative, do whatever. Like this was the fun side of it that I was kind of like, I saw it bits and pieces of, but now it's fully here. And I was like, I feel so seen, and I'm so happy.
Yay.
Excellent. Yeah. And thank you guys for doing this podcast, right? Like, these things are a lot of work, and we appreciate y'all doing this for the community and to get the information out there. So thank you for having us.
Yeah. Course, like, yeah. 100%. Like, we make these cool things, but like having y'all talk about them and people like have a place to go and discuss and chat with y'all, like it's all connected, and it's really cool. It's really cool to be invited on here to talk about what I do at work. Like, Brad, thank you for having us.
Of course. Anytime you want to swing by and talk about what you're working on, we will gladly have you.
Open invitation.
I am more than happy to set the times up and have conversations with you guys, because this has been a lot of fun, and it's great to be able to. I know sometimes, you know, we hit that wall of we can't say anymore, but it is great to still kind of hear what you have to say and put that little plant in your ear. And so, like, you know, it's a good time, and we appreciate it so much. You know, we do all of this because we have a love of the game, yep. Right?
For the love of the game.
Oh, and I think you better cut things off before I start asking pointed questions about this guy.
Yeah. All right.
We got it right there.
He's ready. He's had it there for all of the podcast.
I asked you about Cumbersome too.
Yeah. No. Will knows that this is a different podcast where we drill into him about Cumbersome, but that's not for today.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all of you at home for being part of this and listening in. If you like what you hear, again, we are on the Patreon, and also like, subscribe, do all of that jazz. We appreciate it. It does help us a lot to continue being here and do all of this. We actually will at some point, I swear, have the episode about tournaments that has been pushed off now. I swear it is coming out. We did tape that. It will be there, but it just keeps getting a pushback.
You gotta follow the news, man. That's how it works.
Yeah, we want to talk about Tours of Duty. And so, you know, that will be coming out, and then we'll be back to our normal bi-weekly, as in every other week, not twice a week like we're hitting this time.
Sorry.
We changed the meeting just this once. But yeah, so we will be back with that in the future. So thank you so much for stopping by and listening. And we'll catch you all next time, because we do this all for
love of the game.